Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. In 3 weeks, I'm going to turn 56 years old. You probably don't care. But I say that because as I get older, I start imagining what the hereafter is going to be like. I think about it a lot, every day. And I used to work at the Abbey of New Clairvaux, the monastery in Vina. And I ran into Father Paul Mark, the abbot there. I consider him a friend, somebody who I have great admiration for. And I was talking to him about it, and I was just opening up, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to say when I see God. What do I say when he says, if he says, why should I let you here? Why should I let you in? And he gave me his answer. He says, well, what do you think it is? And I said, I think the answer is, I have no right to be here. I have no right. I do not deserve to be here. Only through the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, should I even be considered to be in here? And that would come from my heart. That's the only reason I should be allowed in. He said, that's one possibility. He says, what I'm going to say is, I said, what would you say, Father? And he said, I would say that, and this is the abbot of a monastery. This guy studies religion like nobody's business. And he said, because I believe your promise. I believe your promise, God. That's what I would say to God. You promised me that you would let me hear if I followed you and believed you. So I'm going on your promise. And I thought, well, that's a good answer, too. I don't know what the answer is. And I don't know if any of us do know what the answer is. We don't even know what it's going to look like when the time comes. And I wonder, like, as soon as you die, bingo, are you in heaven? Are you there? Or do you have to go through a process like trial? And what's it like? I have with us, I think we do every Wednesday, Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She joins us now. She's also, besides being somebody who takes clients and helps people with therapy and getting through issues, she has a master's in Christian studies. And I think I have that right. Is that correct,
Gidi? Yes, that's correct.
And I don't know what... This is a big discussion.
This is huge, but we got to narrow it down a little.
We do. But I wanted to begin that the whole series that we're going to be discussing for the next few weeks with something that I think about. And I think that I think a lot of people must think about what it's going to be like, because our time can end in the next 15 seconds.
It can.
I think so much about the time. Every day I think about this, this Chico State girl who was sitting on a park bench,
yes,
on campus,
yes,
and a tree limb falls.
I remember.
And I know that girl. That girl,
wow,
she used to work at McDonald's, taking my order at McDonald's.
Wow.
What a great girl.
Yeah.
And how fragile it is, and it could end, and in a moment's notice, we could be before God.
Amen.
So, where do we start on this?
Well, I'd like to just give a little bit of my history and where I even got this notion, which is, by the way, what I'm about to share on this show and future shows on the topic of Judgment Day is my personal pure speculation. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to be any kind of an expert, and certainly not an expert on God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just basing my speculations on certain scriptures. And I know this is a wide open topic, and people can completely disagree with me and be right. And I could be completely in the wrong in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to share what my viewpoint is, maybe to just get people thinking for themselves and praying for themselves, because most of us tend to put the whole concept that I'm going to die someday so far out of our everyday thinking that even our own deaths aren't real. How much more facing God doesn't seem like, oh, you know, that'll happen someday. I'll get ready for it someday. Jerry, you don't know how many people that I have talked to who have said to me, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to repent until just before I die because I just want to live the way I want to live. And then in the end, I'll say I'm sorry, and then he'll let me in. And I just think, you don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah.
You don't know. And if you keep going down this road, a day will come when you won't even care.
Mm-hmm.
because your heart will be so hardened by sin.
And if you've accepted sin as being something that is the expectation.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be, because that's how the world is.
Yeah. And I, you know, anyway, so when I was at Berkeley, you know, I had a major in Near Eastern Studies, and part of the requirement of that was taking history classes. And I happened to land in one of the top history scholars at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. In his class, I felt so privileged to be in this guy's class. I mean, he'd written books, and he was famous in his field for Middle Eastern history. And I just loved this guy. And I remember whenever we would have a midterm or a final, he always told us in advance, this is what's going to be on the test.
Mm-hmm.
And the test had three parts. The first part was identification, and he'd write 20. This is back in the days when they actually used blackboards, yeah, and there were no computers,
yeah.
And you hand wrote your answers to your mm-hmm. test. You know, he would write on the blackboard 20 identification question, you know, things like, you know, the Balfour Accord or, you know, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would say 10 of those are going to appear. So if you prepared for 20, you would have no surprises. Then the second part was a short paragraph identification, and he would write 8 up there. And he'd say, 5 of these are going to appear. And then the third part was your essay. And he would write 5 topics up there and say, 2 of them are going to appear on mm-hmm. on the final or on the midterm. And I just thought, he said, why should you play a guessing game? This is what I require of you.
Mm-hmm.
Master this, and you'll have no fears. Well, fast forward to me asking God one day, what does Judgment Day look like? And it took me, I believe, to Matthew 25.
And we're going to pick up the discussion at that point, right after we take this break. What does Judgment Day, what will it look like? This is a series that involves a lot of conjecture and speculation. We'll talk about it more with Gidi Hansen when we come back.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Gidi Hansen is with The Growing Place. And if you have some issues you'd like to discuss, maybe some addictions, you have some family problems, it's just for anybody, any age. If you need some life coaching, some help in your life with a Christian perspective, although it doesn't have to be, she's a perfect person to go to. The Growing Place, located at 1074 East Avenue, Suite A4. You can contact her at 588-0448, 588-0448. You can also go to their website, tgplace.com, TG for the growing, tgplace.com. We went into the break talking about Gidi's experience at Berkeley.
Yes.
And you were discussing how one of your professors would let you know what was going to be on the test.
Yes.
So that there'd be no surprises. And if you can
yes.
answer these questions, you get an A, and bingo, you yeah. pass the course.
Yes.
Does God do that with us?
I think he does through the Bible.
You do. To me, it's not as clear as maybe
it's not as clear
as your professor made it.
No, it's not as clear as the professor made it.
But why not make it clear? Why doesn't God say, you know what? I'm going to make this so easy for you. So this is what you have to do to get here.
Some people would say he already has.
Okay.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not a guessing game with God. However, I was asking him something more specific. Because I believe as believers, we are evaluated on that day. It's not the judgment between heaven and hell. It's more the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 judgment, which is, what did we build with, hay, wood, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious gems. And that has to do with the fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, the foundation is Jesus Christ, and you can have your whole house burned down, which means the way you lived your life. Mm-hmm. But if you have the foundation of Christ, you're saved.
Okay.
But those who build with the costlier materials are going to be rewarded for that. So okay. There is also a judgment, you might want to call it an evaluation. Call it what you will. I believe Matthew 25, where our Lord gives us three parables, sums up what we're going to be facing on Judgment Day. And that's what I would like to share with the listeners.
I want to make sure I have this clear, because it sounds like it contradicts my Lutheran faith, which is that we believe that you are saved by grace alone, and that good works does not enter the equation whatsoever. That it's salvation comes through grace and faith equals salvation.
Yes, that's the foundation. That's the foundation. There is life in Christ beyond salvation.
All right. So but what you're saying is the okay, well, I'll let you keep
going. Yeah, let's not get off on 1 Corinthians 3. I just advise you and the listeners to read it.
Okay.
Paul talks about there is a reward for those who in Christ, who have been saved by grace, not by their works. There is a reward for those, who have suffered for him or labored for him.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And so this Matthew 25 would apply to that as well.
Okay.
Okay, but it also, I believe, applies to salvation. Now, the overview of this chapter is our Lord gives us three parables. There's the parables of the wise and foolish virgins. There's the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Okay.
What Judgment Day might look like.
Okay.
So I thought today we could begin with the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's just, 13 verses? Would you like to read that out
for us? I'll read. Why don't we alternate? I'll read.
You
two,
read,
and then you read two.
Okay.
I'll start off. This is in Matthew 25.
Yes.
The parable of 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were prudent.
Yes, and other translations put the word wise for prudent.
Okay.
But this is from the New American Standard.
So you had 5 that were foolish, 5 that weren't.
That were wise or prudent. Okay, verse 3. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps.
Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him."
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out."
But the prudent or wise answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut.
Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you."
Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And that's referring to when our death comes, I suppose.
Or when the Lord returns, whichever comes first.
Okay. And so the moral of the story is pretty clear. Be prepared, for you never know when your final day is going to be here. Be wise.
Exactly. But there's a little bit more than that going on here. First, you'll notice that the 10 virgins, they all are part of the household of God. Okay, they're all, in other words, they're church attenders.
Okay.
They're people who know about God, who know about Jesus, who are waiting for Jesus. But 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. And
we've got a break.
Okay.
So I do want to get to that, because we have the music coming up. We have one more segment in this show. But how do you determine who's foolish and who's prudent? I don't know if the story gives us enough.
It does.
We'll talk about that. I'm very interested in this, and we'll finish up this uh, this show and continue our discussion of the parable of the 10 virgins and how it relates to Judgment Day when we come back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, continuing, wrapping up our discussion today with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We're talking about the parable of the 10 virgins and how it relates to Judgment Day. We have 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins, and let's continue the story.
Yes, and so the wise, now the lamps themselves had oil, but the wise took extra oil, and the foolish just figured, oh, I have enough oil in this lamp to last me till the bridegroom comes, or which means until Jesus returns or until I die. And so the midnight hour comes, and here, well, first of all, the oil, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit. He often is depicted as water, oil, or wind in the Old and New Testaments. And here, having the oil means having a personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean, you know, having wealth or having resources or doing good works or earning your way to heaven.
I'm glad to hear that.
It means I have a living relationship with Christ day to day, and every day the Lord fills up my oil.
But that doesn't mean that we don't stumble.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
That's a whole other issue. This parable doesn't address that.
Okay.
It doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means our oil supply is replenished day by day because our relationship with God is updated and alive day by day. In other words, I don't look back to July 1st, 1979, which was the day of my conversion, mm-hmm. and say, okay, I was saved on that day. Now, ha-cha-cha, I can live any way I want. Mm-hmm. I can forget about God. I can do anything I want. Okay, my oil is going to run out
mm-hmm.
because I'm not in a living relationship with a living God.
Yeah.
So this is about living. And then the midnight means at the last possible unexpected moment, the Lord will return. And he's already told us that.
Okay.
He's already told us he's coming back at a time when nobody will be expecting him.
Now I like your view of the oil being
yes.
the Holy Spirit. How certain are you? Is this just your interpretation, or
no.
is this the general church's view? That
it's
this
the
is
general
what
church's
it
view.
Is.
Yeah, I haven't made up any of this.
No, I didn't mean to bad. I didn't suggest you were.
No, I mean it's not original to me.
Are there other churches and other people,
definitely.
Religious people, have different views of what the oil
different
is?
Different views. I've not. If there are, I've not heard it.
Okay, because. Well, I mean, there might be somebody who could have looked, interpreted that as being, well, the oil is, as you said, you know, good works, doing things that maybe they viewed it, that could be how it was viewed.
You could interpret it that way, but you have no scriptural support for that.
Okay.
Because in other places, the oil, like when priests were anointed in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. when they were consecrated and ordained, the oil would be poured.
Mm-hmm.
Christ means chrismated one.
Mm-hmm.
Messiah means the one who is chrismated, the one who has the oil. It's oil, if you just study it throughout the Old and New Testaments, always means an added grace from God through the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So that's our oil here. And then Jesus said that our lives should be shining lamps.
Mm-hmm.
So how, and of course they had oil lamps back then.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the world are you going to keep your light shining brightly in the world unless you are in a daily living relationship with God where the living Holy Spirit is pouring himself out and filling you with that light and those virtues that you could never have on your own.
Well, here's something that the way the parable goes. What happens to the 5 foolish ones? Do they go to hell?
Oh, you got now. Let's take it one step at a time.
Right.
One step at a time.
Because they didn't do anything wrong. They had their lamps full. They just didn't have a bonus oil.
Okay. So at midnight, there's a shout, behold, the bridegroom is here. And they all fall asleep. They all get drowsy and begin to sleep. Mm-hmm. And this is just human nature. We get tired of waiting. And so we go to the default, you know, just like in Gethsemane, where all the apostles on the brink of the worst thing that could have happened, or the best, depending on how you want to look at it. But on the brink of something catastrophic, they all fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So then the cry comes out, the bridegroom is here. And then all the virgins get up and they're trimming their lamps. And the foolish discover that their lamps have gone out because they don't have the extra oil. So they thought they could time this thing out. Mm. Like, I'll just bring enough oil. He'll be back by then. But the wise said, we don't know when he's coming back. I'm going to update and keep my relationship living and strong until the very moment of his return.
And we do that in our practical lives by keeping our oil, the surplus. How do we do that? Constant prayer, constant church attendance. What do we do?
Not constant, but living. I prefer the word living because somebody could go through the motions of reading the Bible and praying and going to church, and there's no life in them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say keep your relationship with God alive because that oil represents the life of that light. So there are many ways to do that. Definitely, you know, being with other believers keeps our faith alive. You know, that happens at church. Mm-hmm. Worshiping God, receiving the sacraments, reading your Bible, all those things contribute to keeping our faith and our life and our relationship with God alive.
So there is work involved in it at times with our relationship with God.
Definitely. He's looking for a response. We're not automatons.
Yeah.
We're made in his image and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for relationship. He himself is a Trinity. He himself is a relationship.
Yeah.
And he interacts with us in relationship.
Okay.
We're not like these zombies, you know. So anyway, I don't think we're going to be able to cover this today.
Well, we will continue it next Wednesday.
Okay.
We're talking about what Judgment Day looks like for the next several weeks with Dede Hansen at The Growing Place. It's just going to be an interesting discussion because I think we all worry. Well, we wonder about it. Some of us worry about it. Dede, thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll see you next Wednesday. By the way, okay. Dede Hansen, if you ever want to contact her, she's at The Growing Place, tgplace.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. So long.